This is the State of Things broadcasting from the Upstage Cabaret in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Poetry, you know, is a delicate craft. It requires carefully balanced language and imagery and emotion. And three successful triad poets say it also demands something much more challenging, a willingness to be deeply vulnerable. That vulnerability helps them connect with readers and lead others in the community through the poetry writing process. Terry Kirby Erickson, Jacinta White, and Joseph Mills have all spent years publishing their own work, and they join us now to talk about the art and craft of poetry. Thank you for being here. Terry Kirby Erickson, you're back again. We're happy to have you. You have just published your fourth collection of poems, A Lake of Light and Clouds. It's so good to have you back.
It's so good to be here. Hi, Frank.
Well, I want to start with this topic of vulnerability, and how that allows people who may not think that poetry is for them to kind of find an entree. You open yourself up to readers in your work. In fact, one of your readers told you about how poetry had actually healed her relationship with her mother. Am I right?
Yes, it was a wonderful letter. It was about one of my first poems that was published about 10 years ago. And it was a poem about my mother hanging up sheets to dry on a line outside the way people used to do. And I was swinging on the swings. And it was really just a tribute to that time, a very innocent and a lovely time in my life. And I received an email from a reader who said that she had been estranged from her mother. And reading my poem and the interplay between myself and my mother made her want to work things out with her mother again and to reestablish their relationship. So she wrote and said, you'll never be just another poet to me. And my mother passed away a year later after this occurred, after their reunion. So
you have at least one poem dedicated to your mother in this new collection, right?
I do.
Tell us a little bit more about her, because she was an inspiration to you. I want to hear the poem, but I want to hear a little bit about how she inspired you and why.
Well, I wouldn't be here if there wasn't a dip in the stage when she was performing a ballet. And I say this because she was getting ready to audition for the Rockettes in New York. And this was before she was married and all of that. She was about probably 17 or 18 years old. And she did a final recital for Vinnie Frederick's School of Dance. And she leaped into the air, and her foot landed just wrong in this dip in the stage, and she just destroyed the cartilage in her knee. And so she could not go to New York or audition. So instead, she married my dad. My father's very grateful to this dip as well. I'm sure it was a terrible disappointment for her, but I can't imagine she would have come back from New York. So she had some early disappointments in her life and later tragedies. My brother passed away when he was 20, so that was a terrible time in my family's life. So one thing that I love to do is sing my mother's song. She is an unsung hero to me. She is a wonderful, strong person. So,
will you read this poem?
Yes. The poem is called Loretta Ray. My mother, lipstick red, barefoot, toenails painted the palest shade of pink, stretched out her dancer's legs and rubbed suntan lotion into a face that should have been magnified on a movie screen, the kind that bowled men over even with curlers in her hair and children dangling from both hands wherever she went. They never saw the greasy chaise lounge behind our house where the sun whispered sonnets in her ears and darkened her skin with hot kisses while the radio played Blue Velvet. And the greengrocer and the mailman and the gas station attendants and the jean-clad teenage boys loitering downtown on Saturday afternoons who caught glimpses of Loretta Ray every now and then, if they were lucky, would have dropped dead with desire if they'd seen her sunning herself in our backyard, wearing nothing but a two-piece bathing suit and a lazy, sun-drenched grin, the best years of her life, almost, but not quite, past.
Poet Terry Kirby Erickson reading from her latest collection, A Lake of Light and Clouds. Well, Jacinta White founded and runs The Word Project and recently wrapped up a community-led writing initiative called One City, One Prompt. And she joins us now. Jacinta, welcome. Good to have
you
here.
Thank you.
We're talking about this theme of vulnerability and making yourself open to your readers, and they can connect at that level. And for you, I think, in talking with you before, the grief is the place where I think many readers can meet you. Is that right? Tell us about that and where that comes from.
That is true. I had my first poem published about a month before my father suddenly passed of a heart attack. And he read the poem and thought it was lovely and commended me and encouraged me. And I was with him when he had his heart attack. And it was years later, though, as I looked back through my writing, that I realized poetry was a catalyst for my healing. It was a place where I could go and be safe and be vulnerable and not have to explain or answer any questions. I could just really deal deep with that dark period of my life through reading and writing poetry.
And you found out that poetry was important to him.
Yes, exactly.
And he was a pretty well-known preacher.
Yes.
So I think in some ways that may set up the poem that you're going to read for us now.
Yes. This is a poem that I wrote after visiting the first church that he pastored in the early 1960s. And it's titled Church Mothers. Women in white dresses surround me after service like absent mothers longing for a return to their breasts, rejoicing. Prayer is answered while they wait in line to tell me they knew my folks and how they knew me young in pigtails and knee highs. They reminded me when I was not yet full of the life I now hold behind my eyes, space taken up by pain, pushed through tear ducts. Women, gray curls falling from beneath their cloth hats, twist both my arms in theirs. Take her to the altar. Blood and water sprinkled. Forgive, they whisper, their breath on each cheek. Say you forgive.
Jacinta White, Church Mothers. What did you found out that your father had been writing poetry and had collected quite a bit? Was this a surprise to you when you saw the amount of writing he'd done?
It was. There were writings that included sermons, some inspirational writings, some lines of poetry. I knew my father as a great speaker, but never really saw his manuscripts or saw his writings. So an uncle shared them with me recently that date over 40 years ago. And so to see his handwriting, to see the paper turned yellow, provides such a deep connection and inspiration for me to continue with my writing.
And yet he never published. And you were a kind of a reluctant poet yourself, right? You didn't consider yourself a poet for a long, long time.
True. And in some circles, I still question that. Yes. Yes.
Well, I want to turn to Joseph Mills now, who is about to release his fifth volume of poetry. This Miraculous Turning is due out next month. Welcome, Joseph. Good to have you here. You are about to publish your fifth volume, and a lot of it focuses on family life. Tell us more about that.
A lot of it does focus on family life, as we're kind of talking about vulnerability and what poems do. This week, my wife has started to read Harry Potter to our sons out loud, which is great because when it came out, we read the whole series to each other. And there's this wonderful moment in it where she talks about the pensive, where you take your thoughts out and you put it in this bowl to look at them. And that's, for me, what poems do. I take these ideas out of these images. And a lot of times what's happening in your family, sometimes I don't know, but as I start to shape it in a poem, I look at it and try to see what is happening. Then the vulnerability part comes when somebody else looks into that bowl and says, oh, that's what's going on. And so sometimes you just want to do it and figure it out. And sometimes you want to have somebody else look at it. There's a wonderful quotation from Ellen Bryant Voigt. She says, you can't use the poem to have people like you or admire you or forgive you. And that's really difficult to do sometimes.
It's not an apology. It's not an excuse,
yes,
right?
It's
a definition, not a Facebook post. I'm all about doing these things with my family.
Look how great I am.
Well, so that raises the question about how intellectual a process it is to write the poem and how much of it is a kind of a surprise. In other words, if we're thinking of vulnerability, to some extent, that can be a very private process where you're probing areas of your own life and mind that you don't want to get to. I mean, how much of that is part of your writing?
Well, absolutely. And I think that's a lot of it. We talk about a safe place, and sometimes simply getting it out is valuable. You write it down and you get it out. And that is great. I compare it sometimes, this is not really pretty, but I compare it with my students to, like, if you're airsick, you're nauseous, you kind of vomit into a bag, and that's really useful. But then you don't give that to somebody else and say, hey, look at this. This is really great. I've done something pretty good here. You actually, for somebody else, you need to form it in some way. Yeah. And you need, and all the poets here, I look at what they're holding in their poems, and they're forming it and they're shaping it for an audience.
I'd love for you to read Swimming Lessons. I don't know how much you need to tell us about your family before you read it. That's your choice.
I'll just say that the title is Swimming Lessons, and we'll go from there. So, my wife and I are swimmers from families of swimmers. So we expected our daughter would be a swimmer. And we're surprised that she refuses to put her head underwater. If even a drop touches her face, she cries out and gropes for a towel. Nothing we try works. So we sign her up for lessons with Mrs. White, who soon has her swimming lengths of the pool. I watch and I wonder what I could have learned from my parents if they hadn't been my parents. Afterwards, my daughter runs up laughing. Dad, did you see me? And I swing her high, pat her face dry with my tie, as the teacher says, smiling, she has a very good black. Her black. I'm sorry. Her backstroke will be good. She looks embarrassed. And I understand. A white parent and a black child can knock the most well-meaning people off balance. Since Mrs. White is black, I want to laugh instead. I say, that's good. My daughter senses something has surfaced unexpectedly, then submerged, just as she feels something is odd when people look past me to locate her parents or ask, is she yours? Someday, she'll understand more about the currents around us and why we insisted she learn to swim. Someday, she may even realize how clenched we are each time she goes in.
Joseph Mills, reading his poem, Swimming Lessons. And so you have this rare opportunity to explore, in some ways, racial dynamics in the way those of us who stay, you know, who are not mixed families do. What about poets who have to explore areas that they're not experienced with? I mean, that is also part of the charge, isn't it? To explore areas that you don't have a personal experience with.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's one of the processes of poetry is to discover, is to figure out things. I don't write poems, and this is, I can only speak for myself. I don't write poems because I have something to say. I write poems because there's something I want to learn. There are things that I want to explore, and that may be about my own life, or it may be about other people's lives, or it may be about kind of multiple perspectives. And what happens kind of in this poem, you said earlier, I don't know how much I should say about your family, and I wanted that to be a surprise in the poem because we don't think about what we look like. It's only when somebody else is clearly thinking about what we look like that it strikes us again. And so I wanted that surprise to kind of jar the reader, or so they would go, wait, what? Which is what happens. But then you start to think about their perspective too. I'm not necessarily interested in that dynamic as much as I am as what skills do we need to survive.
And the imagination is an important one. Being able to put yourself in some of those other situations, both you as the artist and then we as readers. I mean, we just did a whole segment on poverty in North Carolina. I'm just going to look at the audience and make some assumptions that none of us are in that, very few who are sitting here today, and I'm not. I can't experience that firsthand. How do we express that? Well, we did it in a kind of an essay form. How do we allow the imagination to put ourselves in that place so that we can imagine a way out of it? And accessibility, I think, is a big part of that for the poet. And Terry, your poetry has always been accessible. You're very proud of that.
Yes, because I want people to be able to understand what I am saying. And I want people to be able to identify with my poetry.
Well, we have a special treat here at the Upstage Cabaret, all the way from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Garrison Keillor has joined us because one of your poems was featured on...
Writer's Almanac.
On the Writer's Almanac, and Garrison Keillor is here. He's playing the piano. He brought his own piano with him. And here is Garrison Keillor reading Terry Kirby Erickson's poem.
It was really...
Dulcet and warble.
Yes.
Well, you know.
You can tell I'm a poet, right? Yes, it was wonderful. It really was. Yeah. And particularly that poem is close to my heart because there's kind of a before and after. There's the time I had with my family when my brother was still with us, and then after he passed away, there's that second half of my life. So I can revisit that first really happy time during, you know, that poem.
Well, we actually have that poem, and it's available for all of us, and I think we're going to play it now. Garrison Keillor, there he is.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 25th of July, 2014. Here's a poem for today by Terry Kirby Erickson, Ice Cream Truck. From blocks away, we heard the mechanical music. The ice cream truck chimed all over the neighborhood, calling to kids like the Pied Piper, as we darted into our houses, begging our parents for change to buy Nutty Buddies and banana popsicles, orange push-ups, and ice cream sandwiches. Once the truck stopped on our street, we swooped like seagulls around the open window so the ice cream man could take our money and hand out whatever treats we asked for, which were always better than we remembered from the last time his boxy, hand-painted truck rolled around, the cold, creamy confections freezing our tongues and sliding down our parched throats as fast as we could eat them, the taste of summer lingering just long enough to make us wish for more.
Now, Garrison, thank you so much. Safe travels, buddy. Garrison Keillor, reading Terry Kirby Erickson's poem. We have time for just one more question. Jacinta, let me ask you, because all three of you really write narrative poetry, and it needs to have a kind of a story, and it does. What's the difference? Is there a difference between a good story and a good poem? What do you have to think about as a poet that makes it different than just a story?
I think the mechanics of poetry makes it different. The use of language, imagery, as you mentioned before, of course, there's the line breaks and enjambments and all those beautiful elements of poetry that makes the story pop and come across in a different way and allow, as Terry was saying, people to enter it and have their own experience with it.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us and allowing us to enter your poetry. Great work up here in the Triad, as always. Triad poets Terry Kirby Erickson, Jacinta White, and Joseph Mills. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just ahead, more poetry and music, revolutionary love music, and we'll get a preview. Here's Layla Noor on The State of Things. Stay with us.
So thanks to her, I was fed with love.